And Lord, we thank you and we bless you. Speak to us now through your word, Lord. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, decaying world. But thank you for your word, Lord. It teaches us how to talk, how to walk, how to live, how to give, how to forgive, what to say, what not to say. Lord, give us your wisdom. Give us your insight into your word, Lord. Let us walk in the favor of God. Let us walk in the obedience of God. Lord, we know we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So, Lord, we're just asking for the strength, Lord, as we journey daily with you. Give us the strength through the power of your Holy Spirit and through the power of your word. Thank you, Lord. You leave nothing to guess. It's all simple and plain on how to live for you. And we bless you for that now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So as we've been going through the book of Job, we're in chapter 2. I've been covering a lot. I've been taking my time with it. It's a couple of things that I wanted to highlight. We've talked about, look at Job 2. Yeah, I think it's 7. But I'm not sure. Let me open it up and see. So Job 2 and 7, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, so Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, smote Job with sore boils and from the soles of his foot unto his crown. So we've talked about the presence of God, how it's important that when things happen in our life to run to the presence of God. Don't run from God, run to the presence of God. Amen. So we got the presence, then we got the problem, which comes in Job chapter 9, where his wife told him, are you still going to keep your integrity, curse God and die? That word curse is barak, which means to praise God. But in this context, it means to commit treason against God, commit blasphemy against God and die. So we got the presence, then we have the problem. Someone's telling you to commit treason against God and die because of what's going on in your life. Because the problems, the issues, and remember Job, he lost everything. It all fell apart due to no fault of his own. So he could feel valid. His feelings are valid. Her feelings are valid. Make a note, family, but don't turn away from God. Run to God. Run to God daily. I wrote this. It says, when you wake up running to God. Amen? Amen. And then stay there all day and night. And if you're fortunate to wake up, then do it again the next day. But whatever happens in our life, we have to run to God. Family, wake up running to God. Go to bed running to God. Don't let your circumstances and situations allow you to leave the presence of God. So we got the problem, we got the presence, we have the problem, and then we have the pain of Job. He's in so much pain that he took a Brillo pad just to kind of scrape his body to get some relief. So it's important that we run to God. And it's tough, family, when it's sometimes it's the people that's closest to you that it hurts the most. When your wife tells you to curse God and die, when your kids tell you to curse God and die, all this God stuff. So make a note, family, never blame God. We've already looked in Job chapter 1, I think it's 15 through 19, where they blamed the other people, they blamed God, they blamed Mother Nature. But we know it was all orchestrated by Satan. It was all orchestrated by Satan. We've been fighting the wrong enemy for too long. Make a note, we've been fighting the wrong enemy for too long. We've been fighting everybody else. We talked about it last week. We've been playing football on a baseball diamond trying to figure out why we can't score. We're upset with the wrong people. We're fighting the wrong enemy. You and I were not each other's enemy. If this was all orchestrated by Satan. And you all know we've been praying all week for the incident that happened in Florida. And you hear people, if there was a God, why would this? It's not God. The young man said he was hearing demons. Mm. People want to cast that off. He's crazy. No, I mean, but think about it. When you're not serving God, this is for us. When you got that ungodly thought, when you did that ungodly act this week, who do you think was influencing you?
All right.
You might have did it in the privacy of your bedroom, your house, on a little telephone or something. But who do you think was influencing you? We've been fighting the wrong enemy. He took it too far. But who do you think is influencing people out there? We're in the midst of a serious spiritual warfare, and we're not winning because we don't know who the enemy is, and we've been fighting the wrong enemy. I'm upset with my wife. I'm upset with my kids. The kids upset with the parents. The husband upset with the wife. The wife upset with the husband. This is what we do when we talk as couples. We always attack the issue, never each other. So youth, make a note. Don't attack your parents, attack the issue. Parents, make a note. Don't attack your kids, attack the issue. Amen. Stop fighting the wrong enemy. If we got something going on at the church, don't attack each other, attack the issue. Been fighting the wrong enemy and we wonder why we have no victory. Because we're fighting the wrong enemy. So here it is. So we're going to talk solutions this morning. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We already talked about how God can use Satan to push you into your purpose. It's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to feel good. You would prefer another method, but God is sovereign to use what he chooses to use. So number one, Dominique, let's roll. Dominique, let's take us to, we're going to be all over the place just for a quick minute. Dominique, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It in. I got a lot of room to work this morning. I like this. Coming up and down to see who's awake and who's asleep. I got y'all. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. So this is how we stay connected in the midst of this craziness that we live in the midst of the craziness that sometimes comes to our own door, in the midst of stuff that happens due to no fault of our own. Through life, through death, through issues, through pink slips, pray without ceasing. And that ceasing means uninterrupted. Don't give up on prayer. You run to God in the morning when you wake up. Stay with God throughout the day and run to God at night. I remember growing up and the way our house was situated, it was, I guess this is facing north, and the driveway was right here. And so when Dad would come in, the lights would flash on the house through the window, through the big windows in the front. And we saw those flashing lights. We knew Dad was pulling in and we just go run to Dad. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It's nothing. Men, don't discount how much influence you have on your kids. It is incredible. And then don't discount how much God wants us to run to him like that. Run to God. It's not merit based. It's God doesn't say, because you did this, I don't want to see you. God says, I love you. Come run to me. We talked about it on the first Sunday when we would ask God, what's the last sin we committed? He would say, I don't remember.
Wow.
Says, we remember our sins no more. So we're afraid to run to God. Satan has us all trapped. He's in the presence of God and we're afraid to get into the presence of God. And God died for us. He wants us to run to him. But this spiritual warfare got it all twisted where we're running from God and Satan's in his presence. Read it yourself. In Job 7:2-7, it said Satan left the presence of God. And we're running from God. And we think we're not worthy. Of course we're not. But Jesus died for us. We're righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. God is standing there with his arms open waiting for us to run to him. But because I did this and thought that, influenced by Satan, I don't go to God. He goes to God and accuses me. That's why we pray without ceasing. Proverbs 3:5-6, Dominique. And you all know that. Some of you know that by heart. You got to trust something. You trust in something today. You trust in your job. You trust in your 401k. You trust in other people. You trust in your intelligence. You trust in your business. You trust in your abilities. This is how we stay connected to God in the midst of everything that we go through. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Underline all of your heart. God wants all of your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. The next one, Dominique. In all your ways, acknowledge God and he will direct your paths. Trust in the Lord. Dominique, take us to Psalms 118:8. Stop getting upset with people. Stop getting upset with people. Stay connected to God. It is better to trust, to believe, to commit, to hold on to the Lord than to put confidence in man. How do you stay connected? Because you keep trusting God. God doesn't change. God won't let us down. And look, family, it's one thing to get up here and say this in the midst of church. I told you, easiest time to serve God is between 9 and 10:30 on Sunday morning. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's the easiest time. Well, I can do this all day between 9 and 10:30 on a Sunday morning. But there's times when I'm at home and nobody else is around. And I'm trying to figure out, do I really love God? Do I really trust God? Is God really in control of my life? Have I really surrendered? Have I really released everything to God? And I sit and have those conversations and I look out the window and I look at the trees and say, God, am I really trusting you? Am I really committed to you? If all this fell apart, would I still stay connected to you? We all have those conversations. If all this fell apart, if I had none of this, would I still trust you? God, is my heart really connected with your heart? And you got to ask yourself that. And I say, and then God said this when I was having this conversation this week. God said, what else would you trust? I said, all right, Lord, what else can you trust? What else can you put all your heart and your faith and your soul into? So I got it, Lord, I love you, Lord. I trust you. Work it out, Lord. I'll leave the details to you. Lord, I leave the details to you. You know everything. You see everything. I trust you. That's what it means by trusting God. God, I'm going to leave the details to you. However this thing plays out, God, I'm trusting you. I'm not trying to complicate my life with poor choices. Lord, let me follow you and let me trust you. All right. So here we go. So this is the one we're talking about how to get connected to God in the midst of everything that we go through. All right. Let's go to, I want to spend a little more time. These were just to let you know where I'm going. Joshua 1 and 7. I want to spend a little time in Joshua 1 and 7. Because if you haven't had a Job experience, you just keep living. And you'll get to that point where you're trying to figure out what is going on. And God, I've been serving you. And the people around you is telling you all that Jesus stuff. You've been believing and look at your life now. Look at you now. You will have the Job moment. But look at what God says in Joshua 1 and 7, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
And for those of you that take notes, thank you. Because you go home and you review your notes. And God speaks to your heart in the midst of speaking. God is speaking to everyone, but then God is speaking to you. You write that down. And you meditate on that because it lines up with God's word. But here's God saying in Joshua 1 and 7, you got to be strong and very courageous. So I looked at the Hebrew. Strong means you got to be urgent and firm. Courageous is bold, alert, and determined. God said, look, in the midst of this crooked generation we live in now, and this decaying world, God said, you got to be urgent and very alert. If we're going to stay connected, you got to be. This is urgent. God said, we're living in a 911 everyday call. And be alert. The young folks talk about stay woke. God told us that thousands of years ago. It's nothing new. God said, but you got to, the place I'm taking you to is what he's telling Joshua. You got to be urgent. You got to be firm. You got to be very alert. And you got to be bold. That you may observe to do according to all. Somebody underline all the law. He said, you got to be urgent and very alert and keep my word. Whoo, here we go. See, the reason we're losing the battle is because we are not fluent in the word. We're fluent in our language. Well, some of us are. Let me clarify that. Some of us two languages. Some of us Ebonics, but we're still fluent. But we're not fluent in the word. And youth, I'm telling you, our youth that are in college, youth that are going to college, if you're not fluent in the word, you're going to get eaten alive at college. Brother John and I, we were talking yesterday, and 80% of the youth that go to college that attend church start losing their faith because they're not fluent in the word. So we're all happy sending our kids to college, and they go and get turned out. Because they're not fluent in the word. And youth, nobody can make you read the word. You have to want to do that on your own. And trust me, when you get on that college campus, there's going to be so much going on. If you're not fluent in the word, if you don't know your word, you're going to get lost. You can't stand it. It's going to be too strong. And you're going to think you're tripping. And you have no foundation because that word isn't rooted inside of you. And they're going to tell you things about the word that they haven't even read. And try and convince you that you got the problem. Let's make it as plain as I can. All right? Youth, let me see your hands. Where are my youth who are in high school? Woohoo! High school. And college. Raise them high. Stop being afraid. Youth. High school. Anyway. All right? Hands down. That's enough. I had enough with y'all. Okay? No, but I'm just kidding. Hey, let me pick on Rose. That's right. Rose, what book are you reading in English class? The Odyssey. Rose is reading the Odyssey. And I can tell Rose, you know, that book don't even make sense. And then she'll say, ask me if I read it, Rose. I haven't, but it don't make sense. Never read it. Matter of fact, Rose, when the teacher tells you, do this for me. Next time the teacher tells you all to do some reading, don't read it, but then when class starts, raise your hand to answer the question. Okay? Don't do the reading and then raise your hand to answer the question. That's how people try and play us. That Bible is so full of errors, man. It's so got translated. So can you show me where? Well, I ain't even read it, really, but I just know because. Go to school, youth. Don't do the reading and then raise your hand to answer the question. Teacher say, did you do the reading? No. Well, why is your hand up? I just want to make something up. Okay. I'm going to give you a made-up grade. How about that? Wow. Folks, we got to stop letting people tell us what the Bible says who ain't even read the Bible. All right. It trips me out. And we read all these books for engineering. You want to be an engineer, architect, you read the book, you do it. You want to change your life, don't read the Bible and try and do it. It doesn't work. This is the book to change your life. This is the book to keep you connected to God. And then we talk to people who aren't connected to God. They try and tell us that we got the problem and they never even read it. Look at what God is telling Joshua. Oh, that's why you got to be strong. You got to be alert. You got to be urgent. That you may observe to do all that I've, according to the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Verse 7. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that you may progress, that you may advance wherever you go. It's the only way you stay connected. Wherever you go, you stay connected. All right, so here we go. Verse 8. The book of the law, or the word of God, shall not depart out of your mouth. It's like you eat the word, you chew it up, and you never let it come out of your mouth. But it says you should meditate, underline meditate. Meditate means to study, to ponder. It means even to speak the word. In the Hebrew, it means to talk, to murmur. It means to roar. People think you're talking to yourself, but you quoting scriptures while you're sitting in traffic so you don't have to quote something else. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
People think you're talking to yourself on a job, but you murmuring and you roaring inside and you're talking and speaking and pondering. You meditating on that word so you don't have to go off on somebody. You're at school and you're meditating and you reciting scripture in your mind so you don't get caught up in all that other foolishness that they're doing at school. See, if we're not fluent in the word, we're not going to make it. Parents, you got to be fluent in the word and asking God for wisdom on how to deal with your kids, how to advise your kids, how to raise your kids. And for those of us that have grown kids, I'm always praying, God, give me wisdom on what to say, because they're outside of my house. All I'm doing is giving them advice, godly advice. So, God, I need you to speak to me because you created them. So you give me the words to say to them because you created them. But if I'm not meditating, if I'm not in the word, I don't even ask for wisdom. I don't know how to ask for wisdom. I don't know the word. And then I give them opinion. Opinions come and go, but God is faithful. We sang that. God is still the same. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all, somebody underline, all that is written therein. And there's benefits to doing it God's way. He said, then thou shalt make your way prosperous. And prosperous means to progress. It's not the stuff they take out of context, talking about you're going to be rich, you're going to be that. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about progressing, moving forward. Family, we don't need to be taking any steps backwards. Not at this stage of the game. We do not need to be moonwalking. We don't. We need to be progressing, but it's through the word and it's the wisdom of God that allows us to progress. And then thou shalt have, underlined, good success. So the opposite of that is you can't have bad success. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You can sell yourself out for what the world would call successful. You can do that. You can sell yourself out for what your classmates would call successful. And your coworkers would call successful. I could even do that, and some pastor would say, man, that's successful. But that's not good success. That's not God's success. So God is showing us how to stay connected in the midst of it all. Through the ups and downs. Through the issues, through life, through death, through everything. Run to God, stay connected. Verse 9 says, have I not commanded you? And then he says it again, underline it again, because family, we need it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Whoo, because Monday morning is going to come and Tuesday is going to come. And let this resonate in your spirit. Be strong and of good courage. Be encouraged. There's a reason why. Because you're going to have to deal with something Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. And look, he says, be not afraid. Afraid is trembling and terrified in the Hebrew. Look what he says, though. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. Dismayed means to be shattered or broken. Guess the young folks call it shook. Don't get shook. But why? Why not? Look what he says. For who? For the Lord, which is Jehovah, the existing one, your God, and that God is Elohim. So why shouldn't I be shook? Why shouldn't I be broken? Why shouldn't I be trembling and terrified because of what I have to deal with? Because the existing one and the Trinity, which is Elohim, which is God, is with you whithersoever, wherever you go. That's why. That's why we stay close. Everywhere that you go, God is with you. When you stay close to God, he stays close to you. When you're connected to God, he's connected to you. We get into trouble when we disconnect from God. We start doing things on our own. All right, let's finish up with Job, and then we'll spend a few more minutes in Job, and then we will pick up the rest next week. Amen. Bless you, Brother Glenn. Thanks for stopping by on your lunch break, brother, getting some words, some real food in. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. Be blessed, Glenn. So let's go back to Job 2 and 7. See how we want to finish this. Let's look at 2 and 10. So this is Job's response to his wife. And men, I don't suggest you say this to your wife ever. But he said unto her, "You speaking as one of the foolish women speak." What? He asked a question. What shall we have? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. He's saying, look, honey. And wife, sometimes you have to tell us this. It goes both ways. Look, honey, we just can't serve God when things are going well. And I would say, you don't even know where your relationship is with God until things fall apart. You don't know. When the bank account is full and the refrigerator is full, it's praise the Lord. And the kids are acting right. It's how you doing? Happy New Year every day. That's not testing your faith, though. But when it gets tough, then you realize, honey, do we really love God? Do we really trust God? Do we really serve God? You don't know until you have an issue where you stand with God. And then you get on your knees and you pray and leave the details to God. You don't run from God, you run to God. But it's tough. I mean, reality says when, think of those of you who haven't been here, he lost everything. He was great, he was godly, and he was rich. Great, godly, and rich. And living right. Stayed away from anything evil, and he lost everything. His kids died. He lost everything, was burned up. Now he gets sick. I mean, so I see where his wife is coming from. I mean, let's be real. I don't know if we could have dealt with half of that and still stay connected to God. I get it. But he's letting us know that every day is not. I remember when our kids was little, they always, especially the oldest, Jay, she always, we leave in Disneyland. She's like, what are we going to do tomorrow? Can't you just relax? Right. Can't you just enjoy? Can we just enjoy today? Every day's not Disneyland. Where are we going tomorrow? We're going nowhere tomorrow. Okay? And as high as those prices are now, we're not going back anytime. I'm glad we went when they were young. They go on their own now. But couples and families, every day is not Disneyland. That's what Job is trying to tell her. Every day is not. Some days it's the 405 and you're stuck in traffic and you're just sitting there and you're miserable. So here we go. Look at verse 11. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all this evil, all this misery that had come upon him, they came everyone from his own place. Eliphaz, a Temanite, and Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment. Make two notes, number one. If you got three friends, you're doing good. Somebody say amen. If you got three real friends, you're doing good. I'm not talking about associates. I'm not talking about people smiling in your face. You can't contact them when you need some. I'm talking about if you got three good friends, you're doing good. Amen. And they said they made an appointment to come see him. So purposely go see people. They made an appointment. They purposely went to see their friend who was stressed out and in distress. So make a note. If you got one friend, I would say you're doing well. So they made an appointment to come together to mourn with him and also to comfort him. Make a note. They came and you all know we've had life and death within our own congregation here. And Job allowed them to come and see him. So allow people to come and mourn with you and to comfort you. Allow them. And then we have to be purposeful. And verse 12. So I'm going somewhere with this and I'm going to develop it maybe a little bit more next week. But when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they didn't even recognize him. Boy, Job was in bad shape. They lifted up their voice and cried. Amen. Those are real friends. Heartbroken. They tore their clothes, everyone tore his clothes and sprinkled dust upon their heads and dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they really humbled themselves. Guess they didn't know it was as bad as it is. They had heard, but when they saw, some of us are visual learners. You could tell us something, but when we see it, we go, oh, man, I didn't know it was that bad, because we're visual learners. Not they didn't hear you, but we're visual learners. So when they saw it, verse 13. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days, 7 nights, and none spoke a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Sometimes you just sit there. I like to say I know what you're going through, but I don't know. So let me just come and cry and sit with you and be quiet. All right? But then there's another side of that coin, too, where I was going to leave a cliffhanger, but no, I'm going to go here. Then we're going to pick it up next week. But look at verse 3 and 1. After this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. The other side of that coin is I do need to give you some type of encouragement while you're going through. Job sat there for 7 days. Nobody said anything. And while he was sitting there, Satan was telling him, dude, you ain't worth nothing. You ain't never been nothing. You ain't going to be nothing. And when he opened his mouth, he said, man, I hate the day that I was born. So the other side of that coin is when I see you mourning, I do say that, and this is all, you got to be dialed into the spirit. I don't know what you're going through, but I know that God still loves you. And I know that God is always there. Stay close to God. If you need me, I'm here. I'm going to sit there and be quiet. I'm going to say something so the enemy just don't take your mind and just take you running somewhere.
All right.
That when you wake up or when you come out of it, you say, man, I hate the day that I was born. Serious depression, which is real. I mean, look at this. Verse 3 and 1. Job spoke and said, let the day perish wherein it was when I was born and the night in which I was. It was said there was a man child conceived. Let that day be dark and let not God regard it from above. Neither let that night, let the light shine. He's trying to say, I wish it would have skipped the day when I was born. I wish it would have went from January 13th to January 15th and I wouldn't have been born on the 4th. Man, that's some serious depression. And you have to allow people to speak in your life, even at the toughest time, so the enemy won't make you think that you were not even worth being born. And that's where we got to pick it up next week. If you would, just bow your heads just for just a quick minute. Thank you, Chris. John, give me something. So, Lord, as we see how serious the spiritual warfare is, gosh, the enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to isolate, alienate, and then eliminate our relationship with God. So, Lord, we just ask that right now you would just comfort our hearts in the midst of the ups and downs, in the midst of everything that we've gone through, Lord. We just ask that you would comfort our hearts. Know that you've been there. Let us run to you and not from you. Let us trust you and not doubt you. So, Lord, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that you'll never leave us or forsake us. Thank you that you've always been there. Oh, we love you, Lord. Let us trust your awesomeness this morning, Lord. Let us humble ourselves. Despite all that we've been through, Lord, let us be very strong. Let us be alert. Let us be urgent. Let us get into your word. Enough with opinions. Let us stand on the word of God. Bless your people to live your word. We receive it, Lord. Now let us apply it and live it. Maybe someone's here, Lord, and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior, the Elohim, the existing one, the Trinity, Jehovah. I've never trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I don't know if I'm saved. If that's you and you're here and you've never accepted Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, it's just that personal. It's a personal relationship. It's between you and God, where you run to God daily and you stay connected daily. And when you have that conversation with yourself saying, do I really love God? Am I really trusting God with every aspect of my life? It's because you have that relationship. You have the assurance that Jesus Christ is in your heart. If that's you, elevate your hand. You say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved. I've never accepted Christ. Maybe you're here and you want to rededicate your life. That's between you and the Lord. Just in your heart, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I want to do better. I'm going to do better. That's between you and God. No need to raise your hand. That's personal. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I've been visiting and I want to make it official. I'd like to join South Bay Abundant Life Church. Everyone needs a covering. Everyone needs a place of fellowship and worship. Maybe God's leading you to unite with us. And although we say we're members, we're really family. We're more than members. We're family. If that's you and you'd like to join this morning, elevate your hand. We'd love to be your family. Lord, how we love you on today. How we thank you, how we bless you. Because you are an awesome God. You reign in wisdom, power, and love. And we bless you, Lord. We can trust you. You know the needs of each and every one of us, Lord, because you created us. Meet us at the point of our need. Let us walk with you. Let us stand on your word that says you will be with us wherever we go. Each and every place we go, you will be with us. So we trust you and we believe that, Lord. And we bless you and we thank you for your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed.